Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We will not give away the allowances to the power plants. We will auction them off. The market itself will set the price initially for the right to those 64 million tons of emissions.
So if President Bush won't regulate against global warming, Governor Spitzer will, as you heard him speaking there yesterday. That's the governor's attitude, with the president taking only a voluntary approach to greenhouse gas reduction. Yesterday, the governor came out with a mandatory set of reductions for New York State, with power plants, as he said there, having to bid for pollution rights at auction. We will explain it and debate it now with Dale Brick, senior attorney at NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council, the environmental group. She heads up their state climate policy work. And Gavin Donahue, CEO of the Independent Power Producers of New York, obviously representing the power plants. Gavin Donahue, Dale Brick, thanks for coming on today. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Dale, you first. What is the governor actually proposing as you understand it? How would this work and what impact would it have?
Well, the overall proposal, of course, is to put a mandatory cap on global warming pollution from power plants. This is something that the governor has negotiated with 10 states altogether in the Northeast. So they're going to cap global warming pollution and require the power plants collectively to reduce their pollution by 10% from current levels by the year 2019, and he said that was about 16% from business as usual. So, and the way that a cap and trade program is structured, they're not requiring any particular plant to reduce pollution a certain amount. They're just saying collectively, we don't care how you do it, if some plants reduce pollution more than others, as long as collectively we know pollution is going down.
And it has to go down by 2-point-something percent every year for 5 years, starting in 2014.
Right.
In fact, someone told me this would be the first mandatory greenhouse gas reduction anywhere in America. Is that true?
That's right. There, it'll be a flat cap for the first 5 years, and then it goes down 2.5% per year in the later years, getting you to that 10% number.
Gavin Donahue, any disagreement there, first of all, on how it works?
Well, I think we have concerns about how it's structured. I think the goal of the Spitzer administration to reduce carbon and decrease our carbon footprint are laudable, and I think the governor deserves credit for bringing this issue to the national level. But to really address this issue, we need to do this on, a national basis and do a national cap and trade program. But absent leadership from Congress and the president on this, obviously a regional approach is something that is not as preferred as a national approach. But when you talk about auction design and never doing this before, it's never been done in the country before, it doesn't mean we shouldn't stop, but we need to be smart about it. We need to make sure that the allowance prices are available, the allowances themselves are available, so power generators can actually run their facilities, and they're affordable.
What does that mean, that the allowances are available, that enough greenhouse gas emissions can be allowed?
Well, right now, when the allowance is structured, the rules are still being developed, but anyone can go in and buy them. For example, a Goldman Sachs potentially could go in and buy these allowances, hold on to them until the price gets to where they want, and then you may not be able to run your power plant. Or someone else could come in and buy them and retire them, and then the allowances won't be available. So that's a significant issue I think we all need to be concerned about, because the impact that that would have on ratepayers could be tremendous. And two, let's just talk about the reliability of the system. We have power plants that need to run, and the lights need to stay on. So I just think that we need to improve what's out there. We need to make sure that this auction is structured properly. And right now there's no cap on the allowance prices. So the price, I'm not sure what the price would be. Take 64 million tons and put a number to it, and that will tell you what the price is. So those are issues that I think this administration needs to be concerned about.
And the bidders would be the various power plants, power companies in New York State. So Con Ed would be bidding for pollution rights, basically, against upstate and Long Island power companies, that kind of thing?
The administration is proposing to put a committee together to determine how that would work. But in essence, right now, anybody could bid on those And we're not sure how that will work. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that everybody needs to be concerned with.
Right. So, Dale, what about some of those concerns? He talks about, for example, an investment firm, I guess like a ticket scalper, coming in and buying up these pollution rights and holding on to them, you know, until they can really squeeze top dollar out of the power companies.
Right, right. Well, I think it's important to distinguish between concerns about having a tradable credit program at all. So if there's a cap and trade program, whether the state gives the allowances, which are the pollution permits, for free to the power plants or not, anybody could come in and buy allowances in the marketplace. So we need to have protections in place to prevent that type of market manipulation no matter what. That's not really a problem that's specific to the auction. That's a concern whenever you have tradable credits. And we have lots of tradable securities out there already where we need to protect against that type of thing. We already have the acid rain program. There are other environmental programs with tradable credits where we have experience. And this market is a little bit smaller, so it's more vulnerable, but that is definitely a mm-hmm. problem. The states are on that. They've hired Resources for the Future, the top economists in the country working on this issue, as well as some university professors who are expert in this area to protect against that.
And ultimately that protects against gouging the consumer, who's ultimately going to have to pay the rates. Gavin, you wanted to say?
Well, I think it's important to point out that there is no back-end technology to capture CO2. So really what this is a tax to do business here in New York and these other states. And until we have the technology available, we're really putting out, I think.
Well, what do you mean capture it?
You have to reduce acid rain and NOx and SOx. There's scrubbers and there's technology that these facilities put on to capture those emissions. As we sit here today, the technology is not developed. So what all we're doing is requiring power generators to pay to operate. It's a hidden tax.
But if there's a cap, then you can't pay to operate at the same greenhouse gas emission level as today.
If it's structured properly, and we're not certain of that yet.
Right. But the
other problem is we need to worry about investment in this state. I mean, for example, Pennsylvania and Ohio, they're not part of this program. Mm-hmm. They are huge coal-generating states.
Mm-hmm.
As a developer, you can sit here now and say, okay, you know what? It's so expensive to do business in New York. I'm going to go put my power plant in Pennsylvania and send the electricity to New York. Therefore, we lose the jobs. We lose the investment. And that leakage issue about what kind of price signals we send as to where investment's going to take place is something else the state should be very concerned about. Because Governor Spitzer's made economic development and revitalization of New York State a huge priority.
This is WNYC. We're talking about Governor Spitzer's proposal to cap the amount of greenhouse gas emissions starting in 2009 and then have mandatory reductions beginning in 2014. We're talking about it and debating this proposal with Dale Brick from the environmental group NRDC and Gavin Donahue from the Independent Power Producers of New York. And Dale, let me throw at you a couple of those concerns that Gavin just raised. One is on the total amount of power that will even be available to New Yorkers to consume, and you know we have blackouts and stuff like that already. He says there is no greenhouse gas capturing technology available, like there are scrubbers to reduce acid rain emissions and things like that. So if there's no technology, then the only alternative would be to reduce the amount of greenhouse gas emissions, which would mean reducing the amount of power produced in New York State. True or false?
Well, it's false because there are lots of options, but as a general matter, that is true because really the way that New York and the other states in the region are planning to meet this cap is by improving energy efficiency, and this is why they're doing the auction. As you said earlier, the consumers are going to pay the price of this program. That's residential, commercial, and industrial customers in terms of that allowance price, the permit price is going to be incorporated in the price of electricity.
But that brings us to his other concern
which is
investment in New York State. If Pennsylvania, if Ohio, if 49 other states are not engaging in this kind of cap-and-trade system, then does it become like a tax, as he says, on doing business in New York, which would discourage businesses from locating here?
Right, but it's not a tax on business because it's a cost that's incorporated into the electricity price, but because the allowances are auctioned, there's the proceeds from that auction. And what is New York doing with the proceeds of that auction? They're not throwing them in a hole. They're investing them in energy consumers. So the states have done analyses that show energy bills will actually go down in New York and in all the states that are participating in this program if they improve energy efficiency at the same time that they implement the cap.
So, Gavin, to explain to the listeners, that system with the cap on total pollution rights or greenhouse gas emission rights, and then power companies being able to buy and sell who gets those rights that do exist, the price would go up, the auction money would go to the state, and Dale is saying that the state would then subsidize the cost of power, so the net impact on consumers would be negligible. No?
It's not the cost. It's not subsidizing the cost of power. They're using the money to invest in energy efficiency to help consumers reduce their demand. If the state helps
to reduce their demand.
If the state helps me make my building more energy efficient, I get better windows, better lighting, more efficient air conditioning system, I can reduce my bill by 30%. So the fact that my rate went up by 1% is more than offset. And the analysis that they've done has shown that there's so much potential for us to improve the efficiency of our buildings that we'll have a net benefit.
Gavin?
Yes, sir.
React to that.
Well, first of all, I think that one of the parameters, one of the philosophies we believe in, we're very supportive of demand response programs, energy efficiency programs, and Dale's right, the money would go to those programs. But still in all, and nobody should be mistaken here, somebody has to pay for these allowances. And ultimately, in the short term, consumers are going to be paying with it for this through their rates, on top of many other programs that they already pay for, which impact the cost of electricity, which makes ultimately New York at a competitively disadvantaged from an economic development standpoint. So we do support these programs. It's just how do we get there to do it? And the last thing we need is the lights to start to go out in 2009 because we haven't built new power plants. I mean, the reality is they talk about reducing the carbon footprint, but this administration is not supporting new nuclear plants, which have no emissions. I mean, we can't have it both ways. You can't say, hey, we want to reduce emissions but not promote new technologies from a baseload generating standpoint.
We have some calls coming in on this. Let's take them. 212-433-WNYC. What do you think of Governor Spitzer's first in the nation? And as you heard, this would be the first mandatory cap and reduction for greenhouse gases anywhere in the United States. But for now, it would just be for New York State. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Stephen Bayside, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Brian. I was wondering about foreign investors, if there were any scenarios whereby, for instance, Middle Eastern oil interests would be interested in these for whatever reason. I'm not necessarily going anywhere with that. I'm wondering if there are any scenarios where they would have an interest in this.
Well, under the proposal, there's going to be a committee set up through NYSERDA, an auction advisory committee that's going to determine those rules going forward. But as we sit here today, there's nothing that would prohibit anybody from playing in this market.
So, Dale, is that a concern? And he mentioned before, too, the idea of somebody buying these credits and retiring them. So maybe that would be your group or some other environmental group that would say, well, let's have fewer greenhouse gases. So, you know, maybe George Soros would dump a lot of money into being able to buy up some of New York State's greenhouse cap and trade credits and just retiring them, just like conservationists buy up land and just take them out of the market for developers.
Yes.
And that would put even more pressure on the, you know, power system.
I think our organization and any organization that wants to see us figure out how to reduce global warming pollution in a smart way that's good for the economy and is going to reward innovation and drive investment. We think this program is an excellent model for other states and for the nation, so we want to see it succeed. The amount of money that anybody would have to spend in order to really disrupt this market is way beyond the budgets of any of the environmental organizations.
And what about the Middle East oil companies,
as Gavin said, there's no restriction. Anybody can come here and play in this market.
So do you have some common ground between the two of you on
some refinements that
need to be made to this proposal?
I think NRDC would rather see a national program.
Absolutely, we would.
I don't think that any of us really are warm and fuzzy about having this regional approach to this because there's a better way to address it, and it needs to come from Washington.
But where you're different is while there is no federal program, she's for this at the state level to get the ball rolling, and you're not.
No, that's not true. I'm okay with this, and I think our industry's okay with reducing this, but it needs to be done correctly. If I had my druthers, I think this administration should cap the allowance prices so that we know that they're affordable and are out there. And there should also be an allocation to the generator so they can we can be sure they can run their plants. And the third thing is, let's phase it in. Why do we need to run to do 100%? Why not do 25% the first year, 50% the second year, 75%, and build ourselves up so that we're not the laughingstock of the country because we do this wrong? In Europe, it failed.
Are you really for this, or are you just saying you're for this, and then you're giving all the reasons you're against it?
No, I think that, first of all, that we can still achieve the goals of the program by 2019 by phasing it in. So I'm just trying to say, let's be smart about it, let's go slow, and let's do it right. And that's, in my judgment, more important than what it looks like.
Bradley in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bradley.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make a quick comment that I am a young professional, and I just think with the movement among people my age with organic foods and buying responsibly that we might be willing to take a rate hike up to, you know, my electric bill is $70 a month. I could afford another $10 a month if I thought it was being done responsibly.
Be careful before you speak for everyone in your generation. But maybe young professionals living in Manhattan are willing to pay a little more for green energy. Jerry in Hempstead, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Brian. I represent a labor union, Boilermakers, and we work in this industry.
Yes.
And what I have to offer is I agree with many of the comments by Mr. Donahue. In particular, part of the problem in New York State is that the state doesn't even have a plan for us to build plants that would be more efficient and less polluting. So I think the governor's idea is, in general, a good idea, should be applied nationally. But I think that his priorities are in the wrong place. First, we should put in place laws that will allow us to get rid of the old equipment, some of it which is over 40 years old. I've worked as a boilermaker 40 years, and a lot of the plants that my members work in are older than I am as far as my business and working experience. So trading cap can be good, but only if the state of New York systematically goes about having a system to produce electricity that both investors and the public can rely on.
Jerry, I got it. Thank you very much for the call. We're just about out of time. Dale, I'm curious. This is just for power plants. Should the governor implement a similar system for personal greenhouse gas production, like from SUVs? I don't know how Bradley would feel about that.
No, it's not feasible to implement something on individual people, but you could certainly extend the program to cover transportation sources by covering fuels and to cover industrial sources and heating. And other states are certain. I mean, New Jersey's right. Already committed to economy-wide cap, so is California. Other states are looking at that. So I think we will see this expand, but not in a way that individual people are going to have to comply with the requirement.
And Gavin, on your way out here, how does this actually proceed now? It's a rule promulgation, which means it's short of an executive order, but the legislature doesn't have to vote on it. So is this going through just by the governor's word?
I think that this ultimately, absent some sort of federal action, will go through. I think that we're going to spend a lot of time commenting on how to improve it. There's many opportunities, I think, to improve the rule in the next few months. But, you know, I think folks in the industry are going to reserve their rights to proceed potentially on a legal basis if they have to. So we're very serious about making sure that we can make energy affordable in this state and make it available. So
the lawyers always win.
They're going to look at it.
Gavin Donahue, CEO of the Independent Power Producers of New York. Dale Brick, Senior Attorney at the Natural Resources Defense Council, head of their state climate policy work. Thank you both very much. Good discussion.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, as you may have heard, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice this morning did it. She officially declared the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization. We'll look at the implications. Stay tuned.